Hallelujah. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, you shall not take a wife of this daughter of Canaan. And he goes on a little bit about there. What I really want to pick up is about verse 11. And he lighted upon a certain place, and there tarried all night because the sun was set. And he took a stone of that place and put that for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up in the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land where you lie on there will I give it unto you and to your seed. And they say, and to your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, which is the four points of the compass, which is one of the fours that are mentioned in the kingdom world. And in you and your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you in all your places where you go, and I will be with you, and I will bring you again to this land, and will not leave you until I have done what I have said, says the Lord. And Jacob wakened out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he said, and he was afraid, and how dreadful is this place, this is the none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I want to just talk about a few little bits and pieces out of this, because there's something in here, I believe. The law of precedent, I've sort of shared a little bit in some of the other conferences about the law of precedent. The law of precedent is this. Whatever sets a precedent, not a precedent, a precedent, something that comes first. Like, so in the court of law, by the way, the whole of the heaven is governed by systems of government, which is based on protocols of law. So there's 10 different courtrooms in heaven, and each of those courtroom systems are based on the government related to law, and we can participate in those courts, but you've got to go to the low one first, which is called the mobile court, get the teaching, this basic stuff. And so some of the issues that we begin to face is that everything is based on what has gone before. What God does is, if there is a man that will be willing to stand and say, yes, I will do that, then God's got legal, legitimate right to stand in heaven and say, a precedent has been set by that. Therefore, I can use that precedent to go, no, you can't do that. Or yes, this is going to happen. Okay? Abraham takes Isaac up to the mountain to kill his son. Law precedent. Okay, Jesus comes to the earth so that the Father can actually destroy the yoke of sin that was supposed to be free from all the way back down through to Isaac. But because God provided a lamb, the Father provides a lamb, his name's Christ. So precedent set all the way back there. God goes, yep, I can use it because a man was willing to do that. Okay, so we have one of the poor prophets that God comes to him and says to him, hey dude, this is in the NIV, the new inversion. Hey dude, I want you to go to the brothel, and I want you to marry two prostitutes, and I want you to have two children by her. So this guy who's a Nazirite, who has nothing to do with anything unclean, goes to, can you imagine going to the church leadership today? Hi, God's told me to go down to the brothel and marry a prostitute. I'm going to have two children by her. Can you imagine what they would say? You're deceived, brother. See, and so he goes down there, he marries this woman and loves her and has two children. Don't get to sleep on me. Has two children by her. Okay, so can everybody open their eyes? Just open your eyes. I want you to know something. I can see. Okay? When people have their eyes closed and I think they're praying because their eyes are closed. If you don't have dancing fire in your head, you're sleeping. Okay? It's a thing that sits here and just moves. I can see it. So if it's not there, then you need to know, I know you're sleeping. So I'll give a period of grace over the next day. And then I've got a bottle of water, and I haven't used it yet while I've been in England. And I really want to, because you're packed so tightly together. And because I'm not very accurate with water, it's your problem, because you're all accountable for one another. You're your brother's keeper. So you've got to make sure that they stay awake. So about every 10 or 15 minutes, just look at your brother and make sure that they're awake. It's just going to make it easier for me. And so the law of precedent becomes something very very important for us as believers to understand that when someone is willing on the earth to pay a price, that record goes into heaven and the Father can trade on that record and say, because they were willing, I can do it. Because God looks for our response in all of this, right? And so the law of precedent is about the law also of encounter. And so the law of encounter is this: always revisit your encounter. That's the law of encounter in its summary. Always, there's 24 laws, by the way, 12 in Jerusalem, 12 in Zion, makes the 24 elders that cast a crown, govern before the presence of God. So the laws are about the government of heaven's operation on the earth. When you understand those laws and operate by them, you'll be a supernatural being on the face of the earth operating in heaven. And so, when you understand some of these the processes, so when you have Jacob coming to a certain place, that certain place just happened to be the same place that Abraham and Isaac had had an encounter with God. And the thing I love about it is it says, Jacob took a stone and put it for his pillow. Have you ever wondered what a stone's like to sleep on? We had a guy in New Zealand died because he put his head in a beer crate. And it got around here and shut the blood up to his brain and killed him. You know, I personally believe those stones that Jacob connected with on that mountain where he was the certain place was directly related to the altars that Abraham and Isaac had built to the presence of God. So he was sleeping on a record, and on the ground where there was a record held in the spirit world of a precedent platform that had gone before him that was able to be used to open up and bring him into the same encounter. That's why the Bible is so important regarding engaging what others have done regarding your encounters with the presence of God. Now, do a teaching called Using the Word as a Gate. And so we need to engage the Word of God as a platform to instruct us and empower us to have a residue frequency remembrance of somebody else's experience with God that God had the choice to write down in the Bible. And if it's written down, then let me tell you something. It's a law of precedent. You can go back to that same place and have an encounter with God in that same certain place. That's why the record is down there, so that you can return to the vision and encounter someone else and take it further than what they experienced. I can really feel some of you going, it's all good. Over this weekend, I'm going to fry your brains. My idea is to stretch you so far out that in about 6 months, you'll come back to that distance instead of going this far out and coming back to nothing. Listen, for me, everything about the kingdom is functional. It must be functional. There must be a grinding out of application on the earth, and where it goes beyond just by faith, there must come a platform for that to manifest. The only way for that to fully manifest is to bear the shadow of as it is in heaven. Right? Some of you heard me talk about shadow, most of you haven't. So what do I say when I mean by that? If I was to get one of these little kids and get them to stand next to me and in the light and say, there's my shadow and there's her shadow, can she say my shadow is her shadow? Of course she can't, because my shadow does not look like hers. So our problem in the church is we have a shadow that does not look like God's shadow. That's why God doesn't come. Listen, I'm not interested in signs and wonders. I am, but let me just hear what I'm saying here. So don't somebody take that out and cap it and put that on the thing and say, Ian doesn't believe in signs and wonders. Just get that devil and deal with it. What people do that. Devils do that stuff. And so what you've got to understand is that anyone can work signs and wonders, including sorcerers, witches, witchcraft people, they can do the same things that Christians do. I've seen it in Africa. They can do exactly the same things that somebody, a Christian, does. That's why people who go to Africa, everybody goes, yay, but actually it means nothing to them because they can go to the witch doctor and the witch doctor will do the same thing. He can make people flop on the floor and laugh. He can make miracles happen because it's all bound up with water covenant spirits. With water spirits getting power and whatever, trading their seed and DNA so they can rob their family future of the testimony of records so that there's no power in the future to have in their day. Anyway, just junk. Trading platform. Same as Freemasonry trading board. You know, black and white checkerboard and Freemasonry temple, same spiritual thing, gauging the stars to trade in your generation line so they can have the power in their day and you give it freely. I mean, what a waste. Anyway, and so, what was I talking about? I've been sidetracked again. Shadow. That's right, shadow. And so what happens here is that if we don't bear the image of God on the earth, and the Bible says on earth as it is in heaven, so the only way you're going to bear the shadow on earth is if you go to where the true shadow is. The only way to fully bring that reflection down here is to be where the reflection is. So I am that I am. Now, photons are really interesting little things. They're little pieces of light. If you take a photon and you pass it through an object, they separate. Those two separate photons, you can take one and put it 500,000 miles away from this one here without any known connection between them. You start a frequency vibration on this photon here, and this one will start to vibrate at exactly the same frequency and same information as this photon here, as though this one is still connected with no known connection between them. Because it's about an image and about a shadow. So whatever's going on there, when that begins to happen here in this world, the kingdom world of Christ, and you begin to engage this world, this starts to take on the image of that because we are beings of light. I just need you to know that. Your physical body has a little particle in it called the God particle they've just found, by the way, in scientific community. It's a little piece of light in the right in the middle of the DNA, right in the middle of the neuron and proton little thing inside there, and you've got the quarks and all these other things that are right in the middle. They found a piece of light. And so if there's light here, which is in created light, and we're a creative light being that lives in a creative light world, when you engage creative light, and creative light has preeminence over created light, and you're in creative light frequency, then created light is going to begin to take on the frequency of creative light, and then you're going to begin to look like light. Get the CD. And so I've got to stop saying that. We've got to go. The reason I say this is I've just done stuff on this which saves me having to go through it all again with you. Just get some teaching. Listen to it over and over and over and over and over until you change your belief system. See, the only way for us to change the world is to be where He is. It's the only way we'll ever change the world is to be where the Father is. And so let's talk about that as well. I mean, I've only done one verse out of the whole thing I want to do today, even it's 9 o'clock. Just so you guys know what these guys are doing, I do teaching on trading. What they're doing is they're trading, and the Bible talks about, I mean, just a simple understanding of it, is how Paul said, bringing the offering to the apostles' feet. What they're doing is they're trading into your revelation because they're buying and saying, yes, Lord, I'm engaging that on the sea of glass. So they know about what they're doing, so don't worry about it. Don't get freaked out about people coming and doing that stuff. It's all good. Don't worry about it. And so, man, I light. What was I talking about, light?
Shadow light.
And so the shadow and the image of that must be birthed down here. If I'm there, if I'm not there, then I have a problem. So we are taught that we can't go there. And when you do go there, you have somebody stands in front of you and says, you can't go there. That's devilish. That's witchcraft. You can't actually leave your body and go into the world of the Father. That's sorcery and witchcraft. And so you don't go there. Well, actually, the Hebrews believe it's a principality. Because a principality to a Hebrew from the Zohar means this. It's a king, a ruler, that stands in your gate that stops your entry into heaven. See, even Jesus said to them, you Pharisees, you know, you won't go in yourself. Those that do want to go in, you deny. Jesus spoke to them with that kind of stuff. And so if that's the truth, then you've got to understand, when you start to engage this, you will be able to change this world here, because everything in this world does not want you to be who you are in heaven. We are also, this is where I was going right at the very start. So here is our problem. We're also told that we've got to come into it. And so, which is really great, because there is a protocol for that. But let me tell you something. If you go into it without being in it first, you'll wet your pants washing machine. See, that's why I'm sure God gave the culture to create washing machines, was so that we could wet our pants and not worry about it. Because I'm serious. When you come from the outside in and you engage the throne of the presence of God, wet pants. Are you going to go back? No way. See, but that's not where we are supposed to approach the realm of the kingdom from. We're supposed to approach the realm of the kingdom from within the Father, looking out. Once you learn how to be in the Father, looking out, then you can begin to take on the record of that whole world, which means that when you go into it and you hold that record, there's no, because you're normal and you're used to being there. It's all about being in the Father. And so we have Jacob here doing his little nana and lying down. And I need to come back to scriptures here. I have got a few notes this time, so it's all good. Some of the things that occur when we engage our past encounters is that the reality of the identity that was found there can become your reality. That the seed that was planted by another would release and be quickened in you to become your own seed. Once quickened and made alive in you, the possibility of that reality manifesting on the earth becomes potentially real. So Christ in me, the hope, I've just done a teaching that in Barnstable, I'm sorry, in Torquay. Christ in me, the hope of glory, if I really understood that which, I don't know why I'm sitting in front of you. It's all good, brother. Hallelujah. I can sit here because there's people. And so, I mean, it doesn't really matter where you are because there's other stuff in here too. And so, the reality is this. If this which is within me has a capacity to engage that which is on the outside of me for me to be in that, then all of that will come over the top of this as a witness for what is down here. So the only way for us to receive the fullness of heaven is to be there till this takes on the same image as that, and then that will manifest down here. Whoa. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Whoa. Whoa. Some of the major issues we need to face is about our heart motivation and connection with the source of everything that's going on. Listen, everything you do for the kingdom is not to make you look good. It's not about to make you look and having brownie points with everybody else so you can go around and go, oh, I healed 5 people today. I don't care. Well, I do. I'm excited for you. Praise the Lord. But if your motive is to make yourself seem spiritual, to seem better, to seem whatever than someone else, then your motive is judged. And according to the testimony of your works, it's burnt with fire and doesn't exist. See, that's why we got to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Anybody ever seen a living sacrifice? Those folks who know what I'm talking about, put their hands up. Get the CD. Because you all should be putting your hands up. Because the Bible calls you living sacrifices, which means it tells me you've never presented yourself. which means he's never been given right to strip you of your false skin and covering on your life where you have presented an image to someone to try and be spiritual, to find acceptance, which is out of rejection. So you're trading with a Jezebel spirit in what you're doing in your functional realm of having signs and wonders is about trading with a Jezebel spirit. I do a wonderful little teaching. God worked on my life for about 8 months. Smashed me around about what I traded with in my life. Why did you do that, son? How did you do that? What was your motive for doing that? It was like, ah! I'm so glad he did, though. The divine principle of encounter is we must revisit past experiences that lays a foundation for present reality to sit upon, to bring the supernatural world into this world here. He went to a certain place. He took a stone, which is part of the foundation, and he slept on it, which means he spent a bit of time there. Now, I've also done a teaching on my website called The Night Watch. I don't believe it's about staying awake at night. It's about going out of your body as a kingdom being into the world of the Father and participating in functional roles in heaven. That's why you sleep. It isn't so your body can go to sleep. The reason your body goes to sleep is so it can repair itself from the chaos and anarchy and death and chaos and rubbish that's consumed inside itself, so it can try and digest it and bring something to that body. So the deepest part of your sleep, you're supposed to be involved in heaven. Right? So here you've got Jacob lying down on his stone, because the stone's not very comfortable. I've even heard of people snore on a stone. I mean, it's horrible. The whole ground goes. Anyway, I'm just being facetious here. And so, listen, Jacob was asleep. Do you think his encounter when he was asleep was any less real than the encounter he had when he was awake? No. So, man, he knew what it was to be a spiritual being at night as well. Because he encountered God at night as well as when he woke up. So sleeping is very important. Einstein said something very interesting. He said, the last thing I think about at night is the thing that I gives my creator the opportunity to speak to me about during the night to have understanding in the morning. I had somebody tell me, Einstein wasn't a Christian. How do you know? Have you talked to him? Einstein is a very interesting man, by the way. I believe his whole motivation was to try and bring creative light theory through created light theory to the world, and the world rejected him because of his knowledge and understanding, and so did the church. And so Jacob was asleep, and there was a number of things that Jacob encountered when he was asleep that I think we really need to just look at a little bit here, because they're applicable to our lives. The first thing was this: and behold, I am with you, and I will keep you. So the first issue is, hey, dude, I am with you. So what's the first thing you go to when you go to sleep and you end up in the kingdom world of the Father? He goes, hey, I'm with you. Let's go exploring. See, I hate this religious thing where people go, oh, it's just Jesus. Where you get some poor person that goes, healing the sick and casting out devils. I mean, we were in this place trying to teach people how to cast out devils because it is a process of learning. And we're at this conference and teaching these Anglican ministers how to cast out devils, which is really good. We had these guys lined up, and we were just teaching them how to engage their spirit and then how to engage the atmosphere to change the atmosphere with their own spirit being, because it's you doing. Jesus didn't say, you go do it and I'm going to do it for you. He said, you go do it and I'll be with you. So you're doing it. It's not just Jesus, it's you doing it. When we go, oh, it's just Jesus, actually you're so full of rejection, you can't receive affirmation because you don't really know what to do with affirmation when you go to sleep anyway. So it's just Jesus. Well, actually, it's all about Jesus anyway. So if you say it's just Jesus, it means your whole life's not about Jesus. It just means the thing you're doing is just Jesus. And just Jesus isn't something you do. Just Jesus, or Jesus is the way, which means he's in everything I do, not just that little piece of what I do. So worship isn't something I do. Worship is something you are. So a religious system has three fast songs, three slow ones, and we've done worship now. We can now have the notices. So we do the notices, and then we can now have the word, and we do the word. Listen, I don't do notices, but notices are important. But the word is what you are, not who you are. It's not what you do, it's who you are. Worship isn't what I do, it's who I am. And so one of the things I've learned to do is how to trade back into the realm of the presence of God. Let's just talk about that for a bit, because all you're looking at me like going, yeah, well, tell me about it, and my brain's fried already. And so, see, if someone does not receive affirmation, they're full of rejection. If you can't receive it from man, you will never have God come and speak to you like you did here with Jacob. Because you're rejecting man, you're rejecting the face of God in man, and therefore you're rejecting God, and therefore God won't have an opportunity to come speak to you. And so one of the things I've learned to do as a person in ministry, like people really love the stuff we bring and they really get touched by it, and they come and say, Ian, that was amazing. That was just awesome. I got so blessed. I have people write to me all the time saying, my life has been so changed by this. And like I could sit and go, yeah, bring it on. But what I say is I say, thank you very much. That's just awesome. I'm so pleased that God was able to do that. And so doing, I receive the affirmation. But what you don't see is at nighttime, when I go home, I lie in my bed and I step into the world of my Father, and I come before him with a bouquet of flowers of every thank you that someone has given me, and I trade them for revelation of his love. See, then when I've received it down here and I've given that there, the Father can go, well done, son. And then your body goes, but you're here, receiving it here, your body takes on the same image, and the well done son can rest down here. Yeah. And then you'll start to do the works that God did, because without God saying, well done son, you won't do the works that God's done. Come on. If you've never heard the Bible preached like this before, praise the Lord. It's a good exercise. Holy Spirit. I've been at this an hour and I've done one verse out of eight. Behold, I'm with you. And it says, I will keep you in all the places where you go. That's number two. The first one is I'm going to be with you. The second one is I'm going to keep you. Do you know what that means? It means this. If I don't have the first step in place about him being with me, if I go and do stuff and he's not with me and I'm doing it for a spiritual reason to make myself seem spiritual, like a lot of people do when they go into intercessory prayer because it's a spiritual activity and they want to be seen to be spiritual, so they go and Jesus isn't with them, you get smashed around. Yeah. Right? And so what happens then is God goes here after saying to him, I am with you, and then he goes, not only am I with you, I am going to keep you wherever you go. Let's just talk a little bit about this. What devil, what demon, what spirit, principality, power, and wicked spirit, the rulers and the doctors of this age seated in our thrones and governments in heavenly places, and the reason they're there is because we've not been there, because we're told we can't go there, because it's a kingdom in darkness, not a kingdom of darkness. It's a kingdom in darkness because it was made dark and it used to be light. Satan didn't make nothing. He's just using what's there. And so if God is with you, it means whatever you put your hand to Everything that is in heaven is going to put its hand in your hand and you'll become a success. God does not want us to be a failure. But see, there's a sequence to this process and protocol. God operates and functions out of this way. He says, I'm going to keep you wherever you go. So if he's going to keep me wherever I go, it could mean perhaps that I can go outside of the atmosphere of the earth into our solar system, into our galaxy, beyond our galaxy to the edge of the universe, and God's going to be with me and he's going to keep me. Because if I'm in my Father's omnipresent, he's in all those places, then I can be where he is. Do you think God's just around the earth? Get a life? We're so worried about Brother Rub and Sister Sandpaper sitting next to us and worried about what they think about us in church. Listen, I'm over all that stuff. I'm too busy and got too much to do to worry about the opinions of other people about me. If you don't like what I say, don't listen to it. Don't worry about it. It's my problem. I'm sure God's big enough to deal with me. Just get about doing your stuff and allow him to do in your life what you want. Don't talk about me. But I don't care if you do talk about me, because actually I don't really mind if the gospel is preached either for me or against me, as long as it's been preached. I don't care. I mean, Paul said the same thing. That's God being with you. When God is with you, see, Paul, the Bible says about Paul. Paul came as an emissary and as an ambassador from the Sanhedrin with papers to kill Christians. Right, that's in the book of Acts. It says, I, Paul, have come as an emissary and ambassador from the Sanhedrin to kill Christians with papers. Right? When Paul came with papers, the whole of the power of the Sanhedrin was behind what he was doing. So when the Bible says, I will be with you and I'll keep you, and you go there with papers of authorization from the Father, because he sent you there to do what you've got to do, and it doesn't matter whether it's in the earth, outside of the earth, or in our galaxy, or outside of a galaxy, and other galaxies of 400 billion that's out there, or outside of that, another transdimensional realm, I mean, whatever. If God's with you, then you go there with the full authorization of heaven. That means all of heaven is behind what you do. You'll become a success, and you'll be able to do what you're supposed to be doing. That's what Jesus said. The same works I've done, you're going to do, and greater. Well, I can't imagine doing anything greater than growing a galaxy. Can't ever go. But you've got to go to the edge of the universe to do it, where the creative light is still moving faster than the speed of light. That's why they can't get to the edge. But we're creative light beings that can be on the edge and learn to see what the Father's doing and do the same thing the Father's doing. See, our brain gets so limited by the religious system that we live in today, and gets so constricting to us as beings that we get so confined to believing that my activities on the earth and that's it. Religious devils do that. Then he says this, and I will bring this to number three, and I'll bring you again into this land. Which means that God is going to return us. See, the Hebraic law regarding the circular thinking issue, you know, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end must equal the beginning. So when he's saying, I'm going to bring you back, what he's really saying is he's going to return you to the full image of the expression of what you were before you were in the earth. I don't know about you, but I kind of want a body that's kind of like a match of diamonds all woven together with all the colors of the rainbow inside the skin burning with fire. I want a face that's looking like a lion, ox, eagle, man. I mean, I want that stuff. If you don't, that's your problem, not mine. So if God is going to bring me back to where I was in the first place and bring me back to the same image I carried in the first place, where I came into the yasad of God and met in the council of God before I was on the earth, then I need to understand what I'm carrying, what I'm bearing, that when God says he's going to take me back, I can go and do all these things. And the object of doing all these things is to take me back. Why? To give me the knowledge of what I already know. Do you realize that when you are a little baby and you come out of the womb, you have no reference for this world in any form whatsoever? Zero. you learn the reference by your age and your growing up process. You know, a little baby has a spatial distance of about 2.5 or 3 feet. That's as far as it can see. Why? Because when it sees you, it sees on a flat screen inside your brain. Get the CD. And so what, it's called how I see, no, it's not, it's called the human brain. And so what happens then is the baby learns the process and accumulating of knowledge so it can engage this world. And then about 3 months later, it sees 3.5 foot. That's where I can see its dad going. And he goes, you're weird, dad. I can see more than what you can see. Because it hasn't trained itself out of a reality that it came from yet. See, our brain begins to get stimulated by this world and we train ourselves out of a reality that's there. And if God's going to bring us back, He's going to bring us back into that reality. We're nearly done, folks. I'm sorry if you have numb rear ends. I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. So there's four things that are very important there. Okay? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to bring you again here. And I'm going to finish what I've done. So fours are very important for us in the Bible. So let's just talk about fours here so you have a bit of grounding foundation for this. You have four elements in your body. You have four chambers of your heart. Then you have in the earth, the four elements of the earth, wind, fire, water, earth. Right? And then you have the four points of the compass. And then you have the four corners of the earth. And then you have the four cherubim. And then you have the four winds of four spirits of heaven. And then the four winds of heaven. And the four portals of heaven, like it goes in fours. And you got the four gates and the menorah. I mean, it just goes on. These patterns are there. And so when you find things mentioned in fours, what it's talking about is four corners that open up a window of potential possibility to empower you to step through into a reality that is not currently yours. So those four things open up a window for you to step through into a reality that isn't currently yours. This all happened when he was asleep. Oh, wet pants. I mean, imagine waking up with wet pants from that. Anyway. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. And I didn't know it. I mean, can you imagine the way it's going to be with us when we really begin to understand the dynamics of the kingdom world and we begin to engage the kingdom and God begins to move in circumstances where people didn't even know that he was there. You know why we don't know that he's there is because we've shifted out of what we should be engaging. We go into church, Jesus come down, Jesus come down, Jesus come down, Jesus come down. Who's moved? If the Hebraic protocol is the kingdom of heaven is as close to me as the air that I breathe when Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. Okay, it means as close to you as the heat from your hand when you put your hand up to your face. That's how close the kingdom is. It's not some world through something else way out there in this ethereal realm where I can't really go because I have to go through the second thing and Greek thinking. See, Hebrews believe this. Whatever you turn into becomes the source of your supply. So if it's as close to me as the air that I breathe, when I turn into it, it becomes the source of my supply. And there was a number of things that happened here. The first one is he said, I was afraid, which means I wet my pants. Yeah, in the NIV. Actually, when you go into some of the Hebrew languages, some of the interpretations in scripture that we have, the Hebrew language is a little bit different than some of the interpretations we have. Some of them aren't very nice either. One of the things we've been doing as a group sometimes is we take a scripture and we unpack it Hebraically. We get all the Hebrew symbols and we read the letters and we take these Hebrew letters and we actually break them all down, get all the images pertaining to them and then try and unfold the scriptures. And one of them was where God said to Abraham, if you walk before me, I'll make you faultless. Right? That's the interpretation that's in here, in most of our Bibles. When you break it down, it says, if you turn to my faces and walk towards them, I'll make you flawless. Totally different statement. Anyway, just stuff. Then he says, how dreadful is this place? The dread is about the fear of God. Their full awareness of being in the presence of absolute power, dominion, authority, might, holiness, righteousness, truth. Seven things. In that presence of all of that. That's what the dread of God is. I don't believe anywhere in the world yet have I seen the dread of God turn up in the earth. I don't believe it's happened yet. But let me tell you, that tabernacle of that window is opening. And it's going to come. And when it comes, we're going to all go, ah, wet pants. Unless you've experienced it first. Then it'll be, ah, wow. No wet pants. Trading into no wet pants. Glory to Jesus. Good on you, brother. No wet pants. Oh, you want it? This is none other but the house of God. Listen, do you know what the house of God is? It's the dwelling place of the person. This is the gate of heaven. So part of Jacob's dream was he saw this ladder. And so let's talk about this ladder and I'll finish with this. He saw this ladder. And this is found in verse 12. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached into heaven. Let's talk about that for a bit. Number of key issues here. It didn't come from heaven to the earth. So we're busy going, Jesus, come down, Jesus, come down. Sorry, wrong protocol. It's got to go from earth into heaven, which means it's based on your engagement, your desire, your protocol, your alignment, all those things. And you're the one that opens up the ladder by your going up. See, that's why it says he saw angels ascending. And we go, an angel, a spiritual being. Excuse me, why does an angel have to ascend when it's already in an ascended place? Because when you look at the word angel, it has some really interesting implications in it. Because actually it's about a supernatural being. See, and so we have that in the Old Testament, a ladder. Let's go all the way over to Jesus. Upon this rock, you shall see angels ascending and descending. In the Old Testament, one point of the ark. In the New Testament, the new point of the ark. You join the encounter with the person, and you get a window in heaven opened that the reality lands on the earth through. God wants us in his world. He doesn't want us staying down here going, come into our world, come into our world, come into our world. We've been doing that for 2,000 years. Has it worked? No. See, we are not just Christians. We are kingdom administrators of a different world that we are supposed to go in and become and bring that world into this world and administrate what we have become out of that world. Would you like me to say that for you again? Because you all seem to be going. We've got to go into that world and engage the full supply of the provision of all that is there. Once I've engaged that and I become like that, I can bring all of that into this world and administrate that into this world. We're kingdom administrators, not just Christians. God's ordained us and set us in place as administrators of a kingdom. And that kingdom is going to fill the whole earth with the sound of as it is in heaven. You know, I believe the day is coming when true government is going to be set up on the earth. Kingdom government, not in the process of electing a government, But men and women who understand the protocol of this world, you're going to bring that world to bear through a window onto the earth. And can you imagine what it would be like in your nation today? But at my word, it is not going to stop raining for the next 4 years. Can you imagine what will happen to your culture, to your economy, to your land, to your river? Sure, 2 years from now, the elected government might still think they're in charge. But if it continues not to rain, and so it continues to rain, do you think that they're really in charge? I don't think so. Perhaps 4 years down the line, when all the cattle are half dead and everybody's got foot rot and everything's fallen to pieces and all your thatched roofs are falling down and all your bricks have absorbed so much moisture and your rivers are so flooded that your land's now flooding, and but at my word, it's not going to stop raining. Do you think the government that you've elected is in charge of the earth? I don't think so. But for us to rule on the earth, we've got to learn to rule in the heavens. Because what if you engage there is going to set the platform for this to rest into down here. And it's your choice. It's to the degree of the measure that you engage God with the supply of heaven, empowering God to do what he's got to do in your life to deal with your junk while you there, not here flopping around the floor. It doesn't do a damn thing. It's about being there in his presence where the glory can change what you are to make you become down here what you should be. It's being in his presence that actually sets the parameter and the plumb line and the barometer for the measure of the kingdom on the earth. We've got to be in his world. Stand on our feet. Hallelujah, Father. Father, we want to thank you that we can be in your world. And Father, it's clear that you have made a way through Jesus, because he said, I am the way. Lord, you also said in your word that Jesus is the gate, that no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. And Lord, we want to stand on that today and say, Lord, we want to come through the gate that was made open and a veil torn to give us entry into your world, to become what we're supposed to be in your world, that we might have an influence of what's going on the earth. Father, today I bless these people as we go, as we break, and as we move aside, that tomorrow, Father, we come with expectation and with a desire to draw on a reality, to make it our own, Father, that we would become sons in heaven and manifested sons on earth and revealed sons in the galaxy. Father, let your kingdom come according to your testimony, your word, in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.